You are now listening to Oversaturated, the podcast hosted by Johnny and Ralph. Now let's get it.
Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated, the podcast, where we discuss music, movies, pop culture, and everything in between. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to episode number
99. I got a few for this. Warren Sapp, Jason Taylor.
I had Warren Sapp in my mind.
Oh, the one you knew.
Yep. That's what's up. new listeners, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, just search Oversaturated the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. Our Instagram is Oversat the Podcast. And our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com. And check out our website, oversatthepod.com. Anything you need to know about OS is there. And check out the blog written by Brittany Jones, Confessions of a Pop Culture Freak, can be found on oversatthepod.com.
Yes, sir. And if you want to follow us individually, I am The Mind of Raph on Instagram and Twitter.
On Twitter, I'm JON 2 underscores the letter B. On Instagram, I'm JBS underscore ESL underscore AAMU. Yes, sir. Ralph, my guy. Another week, man. We back. We back.
Yeah, we are. This is one of those times where I appreciate being biweekly. Well, it used to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
no, my man's Ralph is tired.
I got nothing for you. I mean, when we get into it, the energy will be there. But right now, I'm zero. Nugget. I got nothing for you.
It's cool. Well, look, I'm excited because this is dropping on my birthday. We're recording the day before my birthday. Man's is about to be 33. God year. I don't know. That's just been in my mind.
It's Jesus year.
Yeah, Jesus year. It's all the same to me. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. 33 years on the earth, man. The last couple years, I would say, have been some of the best and worst. So, I'm just looking to make 33 the best as I can, especially in the midst of a pandemic still. Just trying to live every day and be happy.
No, stop it. You've been living. You're all right.
I've been trying.
This humble guy over here.
All right, man. Look,
I just said you're humble. I didn't get into anything else. I just said you're humble.
I'm just happy to be able to still provide for myself through the midst of a pandemic.
Oh.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, man. We here. So, let's just get to off the dome.
Yeah, man. I'll figure it out. I'm telling you. I love y'all, man. I love you too, bro. Yeah, I got nothing, man.
Listen, man, it's all good. We here, bro. We here. So I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first. So in the midst of like the battle rap event last week and like the battle rappers going at each other on Wax.
Okay.
Cause that's
okay. It's been
a pretty good thing. A lot of the newer battle rappers are getting on Wax, dissing the vets, which I think is great. The track was fire, and it's good to see the like a cipher, because essentially it was a cipher. All the rappers getting together just rapping. I haven't asked a music off the dome this year yet. So
okay.
I just want to ask you if you had to pick three MCs, any era. Any style, whatever. Three MCs to make your perfect cipher. Which three would you choose? Battle rapper, mainstream, don't even matter.
In a case like this, I will always go punchline rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Banks would immediately make my cipher.
Mm-hmm.
Who else good with a punch? Lloyd, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over the place with this one. I'm trying to think of mixtape rappers.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably make the best ciphers. Because if you get like a mainstream guy, they ain't going to do nothing to recycle a verse.
Yeah, that's true.
Album.
That's true. Okay. I give you my first two.
Okay.
My first two are Lupe Fiasco
mm-hmm.
and Eminem.
Okay.
Now, Eminem definitely has those punchlines mm-hmm. and can actually, like, the true definition of freestyle. Like, he can rap off the top of his head. Now, I don't take issue with rappers recycling bars over different beats. That's cool. But mm-hmm. I'm a fan of when a rapper can actually rap off the, you know, off the mm-hmm. top of the head. And Lupe Fiasco is actually really, really, really great at that as well.
Mm-hmm.
My third one, personally, would be Rakim. Okay. Just because of his style.
Okay.
Those are my three.
Okay. I'm thinking Lloyd Banks, probably Joe Budden, and maybe like a King Los. Rappers like that just really work well in cyphers and
yeah.
freestyles and stuff like that. So
I like that King Los speak. King Los is cold. Mm-hmm. Definitely cold.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to listen to a King Los song, but you can freestyle all day.
Yeah. I like the videos of him online where people throw words at him while the beat is on and he just freestyles based off the word. Those are hard.
My point is exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Those hard.
But a King Lo song? Absolutely.
Definitely not. That's funny as hell. So listeners, let us know, man. Y'all, perfect cypher. Three MCs, perfect cypher.
Oh. I don't know. I was thinking when mm-hmm. I was grocery shopping the other day, right? There are two, like, brands that we really, really mess with. It, and I think in our community, mm-hmm. blacks, mm-hmm. right? Juice. Like, juice is a big thing, right?
I was about to say Lowry's.
No. Juice, okay. And I don't know why these two brands just stick out, but it's like, if I'm gonna go for juice, I'm gonna go for one of these two, and I feel like most people will too. Either you go get Simply or Ocean Spray.
Okay,
so which one would you pick?
Simply Juice or Ocean Spray?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I feel like this is a good universal enough question.
It's interesting you asked that because I've really only been drinking water and then the occasional seltzer. Seltzer is my new shit now.
Okay.
Like, instead of like hard liquor and all that.
Okay.
And beer and stuff. Gotcha. I guess off the top of my head, I'm going Ocean Spray, honestly. I mean, I feel like Ocean Spray just tastes a little bitter. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know if it's like,
I think Simply gets off with the packaging, and it's mm-hmm. it's great. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think they have the variety that Ocean Spray does. The Ocean Spray has.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I'm going Ocean Spray, but okay. But I mean, Simply is in the refrigerator aisle too. Like, I think they get that benefit too. Ocean Spray is on the shelf next to the Juicy Juice. I don't get it.
Damn. I mean, I guess Ocean Spray doesn't need to.
Hey man,
refrigerated off top.
Hey man,
I don't know.
They got too many hybrid juices out there for them not to like lose.
Right.
I think it's always been top tier. Simply just got here. Ocean Spray been out here for years.
How new is Simply? I guess
Simply definitely within the past, like, I would say 15 years. Ocean Spray been out here though.
Oh yeah, Ocean Spray is definitely,
it's been top tier forever.
Yeah. It's a vet in the juice game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
It's $4 now. Like, come on, man. One thing is like $4.
So what's your favorite juice?
Definitely Cran Grape, undefeated.
Cran Grape.
Yeah, undefeated.
Have you ever had White Cran Peach?
Yeah, I have.
That's
what I'm saying.
Fire.
Ocean Spray got the hybrids.
Just fire.
They started mixing stuff together. I was like, oh, okay. That's what we're doing.
Cran anything is kind of pretty much fire. You can guarantee it's fire.
Yeah, they got like Cran Mango or some shit like that. It's like amazing.
Cran is like the ultimate feature.
Yeah.
That's dope. So yeah, Ocean Spray or Simply Juice?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, man. Listen, man, I think a lot of people have a lot of thoughts in the grocery store. It's like one of the places you can really, I don't know. Am I off in that?
No.
Because when I'm in a grocery store and I'm going, you know, I have my list. Mm-hmm. And I'm picking. Getting what I need, but I'm up and down the aisles, I'm just thinking about a bunch of random stuff. So I don't know if that's just me.
I don't necessarily have a one track mind. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? Why are we starting this? Are we starting with the Grammys just to get that over with?
We should. We might as well.
Let's talk about this, because we're actually recording right now while the 2021 Grammys are going on, and they actually have started to announce mm-hmm. some of the winners. Mm-hmm. So let's see what the winners we care about.
Obviously. Yeah.
First things first, I will say that the best rap album, and that actually went to, let's go through the category first.
Okay.
You have Nas with King's Disease, D-Smoke, Black Habits, Alfredo with Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist, Written Testimony with Jay Electronica, and the Allegory with Royce da 5'9". They gave the award to Nas, King's Disease.
Damn, so I didn't, okay, I knew they were announcing the winners, but I didn't realize they announced the best rap album yet.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I'm mad at this pick.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, for me, it would have either been between Nas and Freddie.
Mm.
So I mean, either or, I'm not upset with that. Shout out to Nas for winning. Mm-hmm. I assume this is his first rap album Grammy, or is this his first? This is not his first Grammy.
I wouldn't say that this is his first, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know Nas Grammy total like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me either.
Because, you know, Nas isn't like a mainstream guy like that. So right. I don't think he really strived for, you know, Grammy recognition. I mean, he has it, you know, and it's great. And he's a, you know, hip-hop icon, legend, all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that was ever his aim with yeah. music.
Right. So, yeah, I'm not mad at the pick. Yeah. I would say it's interesting that this award isn't being televised. I know they got hundreds of categories, but, like, why not televise this one? I know it's been an issue in the past as well. So
I was gonna say something crazy.
Say it.
Hey man, there's no stars in here, man.
It's no okay.
Hey man, not listen. I don't care who takes issue with this, but ain't nobody trying to see none of them accept the award.
Oh, okay.
All right then.
I guess I have no rebuttal for that.
The truth, it hurts.
I guess so. I mean, yeah.
These are talented MCs, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody on here.
But
it's not like
as far as star power of like ratings for TV and all yeah. that. Yeah,
get your ass over here. Take this award, man.
Okay.
All right. Now this one, though, I'm surprised that they didn't mm-hmm. Televise. You got the rap song performance. You have Savage with Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce, Deep Reverence, Big Sean and Nipsey, The Bop Baby, What's Poppin' Jack Harlow, The Bigger Picture, Lil Baby, and Dior Pop Smoke. They awarded the Grammy to Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce with Savage. Not surprising.
Exactly. Yeah, I kind of figured that would win, either that or Pop Smoke, just mm-hmm. you know, off the strength, RIP to Pop Smoke. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like I'm okay.
But shout out to Megan. I assume this is her first Grammy. So
yeah,
at
yeah.
such early stage of her career, that's dope for her.
Right. They awarding our female MCs out the gate with yeah. it. So I'm you know,
not mad at it. Not mad at it.
I'm trying to see. It's another one in here that was interesting. Tiffany Haddish won.
Oh,
Tiffany. For a comedy album.
Nice.
Okay. Black Mitzvah. I like that.
Did you watch that? Be honest.
Yeah, for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, so I think I got through 10 and I turned it.
I was like, yeah, this no, ain't it. But shout out to Tiffany Haddish because yeah, that's a feat that a lot of you know, comics can get, you know what I'm saying, get for their comedy album. I didn't know comedy albums were still a thing.
I mean,
they pretty much take, I mean, a comedy album is nothing but a special on wax.
Yeah.
So whatever she recorded, they probably just put it on iTunes mm-hmm. or your DSP yeah. and got it. So
yeah, and called okay. it an album.
Right. It was another one that I wanted to throw you with, but I think it's Kanye. Kanye won for Jesus is King in the Christian album. No hard hitting takes on that?
Nope.
And they don't want Kanye on there. Not for this.
No, not at all. Damn, that's crazy.
I mean, and I think it has to do with the genre too, because nobody's tuning in to see who won the Christian. You know,
true
category, either.
Very true.
So,
Burna Boy wins best global music album.
Oh, shout out to Burna Boy, man. I like Burna Boy.
That's dope.
I like Burna Boy.
K Tronada wins best dance electric album for his album Bubba, which is actually I really love that album. That came out in December of 2019, I think.
Probably though.
Yeah, so. That was a fire album. I thought that was great. Then that's
Are we talking about the Weeknd snubbing the Grammys? Well, I know he got snubbed by the Grammys, so he said he's boycotting.
I mean, we can get into it for a second.
Okay. Well, The Weeknd feels like he was snubbed after his album After Hours, which was, you know, a highly successful album, didn't make you know, the top categories for the album. So he said he will no longer be he'll have his record label no longer submit his music. Coming off of his big Super Bowl performance.
I heard that.
I mean, even though, you know, Grammy nods going before this. So.
Yeah. I heard he had a decision to either perform at the Grammys or the Super Bowl. And I think because he chose to perform at the Super Bowl, the Grammys didn't, like, nominate him for anything.
That's nuts, though.
I agree. Okay. I think it would make sense for the Grammys to want to nominate somebody that will perform at the Super Bowl if they have, you know, album out in that time frame.
I'm trying to understand the concept behind that. Because the Super Bowl and the Grammys are aired on the same television network. CBS both have the rights to both of those events.
Super Bowl wasn't on, it wasn't on Fox.
I thought it was CBS this year, CBS Sports.
Maybe it was. I don't remember.
I went through strenuous things to kind of get that streamed on my TV. So, yeah, I would say it was CBS.
Okay, gotcha.
So, with that being said, that's still counterproductive. It's still on the network. Like, it's all a network thing.
I agree.
If that's the case. But, I mean, everyone that feels snubbed and slighted by the Grammy board feels like it's corrupt. Which, you know, anybody that votes on anything, you can look at it as being corrupt. Rappers have been saying this since Will Smith, you know, so
yeah,
it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, and I always thought that the Grammys were fair to, like, artists like The Weeknd. Me, personally, I didn't.
I guess he felt like this album that he put out, this most recent album, was Grammy worthy, and the fact that they decided to snub him is like, you know what, I don't even want to go through this anymore. I'm going to continue to make music, you know, the way I see fit, and, you know, fuck the Grammys. I mean, I feel like as a culture, we have this discussion every year. Why do we put so much?
Well, The Weeknd's not.
He's not
rap, so he's a pop artist, so he can have all his gripes.
He can have the grapes.
Yeah, he can have all his gripes with the Grammys. We really only reserve these conversations for rap, hip hop, R&B.
Okay, I got you.
But, shout out to The Weeknd, though.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not putting Weeknd in the bucket with the people that we really go up in arms for the Grammys for.
I guess I'm not mad at that, because I ain't even listened to this album. So.
My point exactly.
Yeah.
My point exactly. I think with the Grammys, no, the Grammys matter because they drive the price up. Like, if you're a Grammy Award winner, like, that, your money, like, that affects your money. So I get why a lot of these artists feel a certain way. Yeah, we should have these, you know, these grandiose discussions about, oh, we should uplift our own art, our own music. But the Recording Academy still control music. Yeah. So that's just how it works.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, shout out to The Weeknd. Yeah, that's all I got. I really have nothing else about this. Shout out to The Weeknd.
Fair enough.
While we on music, I do want to give a shout out to Cardi B. Bodak Yellow has the single has gone diamond. That's amazing. Like, that's dope. And I was actually thinking about earlier today, that song only been out for, what, 3-4 years now? Well, it came out a year before the album came out.
So 2017.
So 4 years. In 4 years, a single goes diamond. I think that's great. I think that's dope. And she's the only female rap artist to have a single go diamond. So, big shout out to Cardi B.
Party gang.
Man, that's hard. That's an amazing feat. So, shout out to Cardi, man. That's all I had to do. That's all I had on that. I just wanted to shout her out on that because I thought that was dope.
Well, we're back with another ownership topic. We have Swiss and Timbaland selling their selling verses. Are we talking about this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, famed producers, super producers, Swiss Beatz and Timbaland have actually sold their massive brand verses to Triller. I think they showed the majority interest.
Yeah.
We're back with ownership topics, like just like we had last week with Jay-Z and Tidal and all that great stuff. Pretty much any artist that was on the Versus platform gets an ownership stake in Triller. So they get a piece of this pie as well, which is, you know, something to take into account before we react
right
to this to this headline.
To this move, yeah.
So I would ask Johnny, what do you think about this move?
So before even reading the details of like what went into it, I thought it was a dope move.
Mm-hmm.
Versus has literally grown from being an Instagram only. Hey, you pull up your Instagram real quick, and I'm gonna pull up mine, and we just gonna play
mm-hmm.
to play our music to a full out production where we get two artists in the same room who actually play their songs while they are in the same room looking at each other. Mm-hmm. Like, and it happened all in under a year. Mm-hmm. So to grow a platform exponentially like that in less than a year, I think is amazing. And I feel like they sold at the right time because, well, they let somebody acquire them at the right time because things are slowly starting to open back up, which means less and less people want to be inside to want to actually sit and watch a Versus.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Triller app, now I've never been on Triller. I'm not really sure what you can do on there or what it's for, but I assume that this other platform acquiring them would allow them to branch out and get into more aspects of Versus.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the sport, like they did one with sports, and I think they mentioned in the article that they're going to do like comedy Versus and stuff like that. So being able to partner with another brand and actually expand your base, I think it's dope. And the fact that you were able to get everybody that's participated so far equity in Triller and Swiss and Timbaland becoming like the head of music or something over a Triller, I think is great. Like this is a whole equity. We're starting to get equity in these companies now that are acquiring our assets. I think it's dope. I saw a lot of people calling them sellouts and all that, but again, it just goes to show you like people don't like if you have a business and it reaches its plateau of what you can do, why not partner with or let somebody acquire you for undisclosed amount of money to help elevate or push the brand. Even at some point, Swiss and Tim might even get tired of doing this. Like, why not just sell it? Let somebody else take over. Like, what are we doing? And it was free. For us, for the consumer, it was free. So why are y'all even mad at them for selling something that you have no stake in? Zero stake. It could be gone tomorrow. Like, then what? They're not thinking about us in this. So that's really all I got.
Okay. You done?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Just let you get your bars off. But no, it's shout out to Swiss and Tim, man. I don't have any like hot takes. Like, you know, people just want to be upset at every damn thing.
True.
Like this is pretty much like the Jay-Z title thing. Like the artists that were part of the board with him got a payout, you know, they got right. money involved in that too. So this is pretty much the same thing in a sense, mm-hmm. even though Tidal is a paid service and, you know, Versus is just free, mm-hmm. you know, at least for us. But we don't know the changes that are about to happen with Versus. And then honestly, Versus is at its peak, like you've already said. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure how bigger it can get outside of just making live events off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like outside is open, no one's really attached to their phone as they were a year ago.
Yeah, and if you out kicking it with your people, you're not finna, oh, the verse is on. Let me pull it up on my phone while we all sitting at brunch.
And the thing is, a lot of the things that have changed is just with Apple TV. When we go get to them in a minute, you mm-hmm. can always go back and replay it, even if you don't watch it in real time.
Yeah.
So now you have to discuss Apple letting this happen. They probably didn't want to give up. I'm assuming, you know, we're all assuming they didn't want to give up too much ownership
mm-hmm.
or, you know, too much power in this, you know, this situation.
Yeah. And I would expect Apple to do that. Like, you get the Cash Apps, the Trillers, the Patreons, who are relatively young
startups,
mm-hmm. startup companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for them to allow the creators or artists to have equity because they're not a $1 trillion business yet. Apple's a $1 trillion business. So why would they want to give up any type of control to anybody for real?
Oh, go away, you poor Negroes. We'll be okay.
There you go. I mean, basically. So it's like, yeah. It's interesting. I wonder if they had just like a certain amount of Versus, a contract where only a certain amount of Versus would appear on Apple TV or Apple Music or whatever. Because it wasn't, I don't think it was that many. I don't know specifically how many there were, but I don't think it was that many.
I don't recall when it started, but yeah. It's just, well, we know it's done now.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly.
Yeah, man, shout out to Swiss and Tim for, man, flipping this into a business, man. Because they were just super producers that went at it for the sake of, you know, our entertainment. Exactly. And now they turned it into another business venture for themselves. So
It's a whole brand out here. It's a whole brand.
Versus with a Z, man. Salute, man.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm interested to see, like, what new will come of this. Like I said, they already tried the sports one. I did miss that one. But they already tried the sports, so I assume more of that is coming. They did mention comedy, so I just want to see.
You talking about a Versus?
Versus, yeah.
A sports Versus? Or are you talking
It was during the NFL. It was during the Pro Bowl weekend, even though they canceled the Pro Bowl. They did. It was only on IG, but they did. Oh. They had like football stars going versus with their highlight.
Reels. Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe you were confusing it with the Triller doing the boxing event, which was a big thing. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No. Yeah. It's a whole versus sports page on IG and all that stuff. Wow. You missed all that.
Wow. I don't know what was going on weekend.
It's all good.
Yeah, that was one of them off weekends, I guess. But shout out to Versus, man. And then like we discussed last week, that Raekwon and Ghost is actually coming next Saturday on the 20th.
Yep.
Any hard hitting predictions for that?
No, I got nothing. I'm definitely going to watch just for the culture and to see if I could learn anything. Mm-hmm. But I have no dog in this fight.
Neither do I. I'm just catching on the replay. I'll catch the highlights.
Yeah.
like you do a game, I'll catch the highlights.
Yeah, catch the highlights.
But no, let's talk about another ownership thing, which is actually pretty dope, and you actually brought this topic up. Gucci is actually teaming up with Detroit versus Everybody's team to come up with a created limited edition T-shirt. Now, these T-shirts are going to sell for $390.
Yeah.
But the proceeds from each sale and will go to a charitable organization in the cities that they put, Detroit versus Everybody, or let's just say St. Louis versus Everybody, New York versus Everybody. Mm-hmm. Those cities will have, the money from those shirts will go to those organizations. What do you think about that?
So I fell into the trap that everybody else fell into when they see these headlines. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, damn, here come Gucci with this bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Until I actually read.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't put this shit out on social media, no shit like that. But after reading and realizing that they are going to donate these proceeds to the organizations within these cities, I think that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fire. And the fact that my guy that created the versus Everybody line is like to be able to partner with a Gucci. Mm-hmm. I think it's dope. Now, I'm not really sure who's going to be buying these T-shirts for $390.
Well, I mean, they got some top tier flight cities on here, so people will buy them. New York, Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, Houston, L.A., San Fran, Detroit. They shouldn't have San Fran. They should have Bay. But Detroit, Chicago, Philly, and D.C.
Yeah, listen, if you want to purchase a T-shirt for $390, at least you know it's going toward a good cause.
Well, I take that back. People in San Francisco got $390 to drop on a shirt that says this. Touche. But no, shout out to Detroit, man. I know it's 3-1-4 day here, but it's 3-1-3 day. They had their day yesterday, but this is dope. But I hope that whoever has the means to buy these shirts, because there are a lot of people that there's a lot of people that buy designer. They're only gonna get it twisted. $390 for a shirt, people got it. And I'm talking about before Corona, before Stimmy, niggas buying Balenciaga and all that goofy shit. You know what I'm saying? So they got it. So let's not act like people out here poor. People be buying designer.
True. But they still be poor about it.
It don't matter. They got them. They have the money or however they get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they get it. And it can be the most legal of means too. But they find a way to buy their Balenciaga.
Which I don't understand, because that shit ugly.
Yeah, designer streetwear is ugly.
I don't understand it, but it ain't for me. I'm not their target, so there you go.
Yeah. It's like you can still look goofy in designer, it don't matter.
100%. You can't buy style. You can buy clothes. You can't buy swag either. But you can buy the clothes. So shout out to Gucci. Shout out to the Versus Everybody movement. Yeah.
Are we getting into Coming to America?
Yeah. I saw you put your review out. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it for a second.
Okay, sure.
So Coming to America is out. I watched it, I think the second day it was out. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed the movie. Mm-hmm. I went into it knowing that clearly it can never even be close to the original. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it is over 30 years later, I didn't anticipate this movie to be so great, such a spectacle. Like, I didn't expect for it to be a masterpiece of a film. Let me just say that. Mm-hmm. So with that, I just went into a fresh mind. I wasn't expecting anything. I was just going into it just to watch it, to see if I would enjoy it. And for the most part, I did. Mm-hmm. I think the callbacks to the first Coming to America, I thought were great, especially for individuals who haven't seen the first one or don't watch it as often, who don't remember. I thought that was dope for them. I do want to shout out Tiana Taylor. I think she looked amazing in that movie. I don't know, man. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I do not understand people's gripes with it. I think they mm-hmm. may have just compared it to the first one too much mm-hmm. to really just enjoy it.
Well, the bar is set too high. Like, you have to think about it. The movie's made in the 80s. This is Eddie Murphy in the height of his powers. Mm-hmm. Like, this is arguably Eddie Murphy's best film. I don't want to get into that right now, but this is arguably his best film. So it's like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But for you to come 33 years later with a sequel, it's like, and it seemed more slapstickish at a point. Like, now let me say this: I enjoyed the film, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of like callbacks, unnecessary callbacks. We ain't gotta keep talking about the last movie, my nigga. Like, we did that already. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But it's like we keep calling back. Now there were clever callbacks, like Wesley Snipes being General Izzy, who was mm-hmm. the son of the general in the first film.
Right.
And his sister being yep. Vanessa Bell Calloway. Like, okay, that's a clever callback. Mm-hmm. Like, my man's that when Lavelle went on that job interview, he was the dude's grandson. Like, that's a clever yeah, okay. callback. Yep. But if you just want to keep, like, pulling out the barbers and Randy Watson and shit, now that's goofy. Like, to me. Now, were they funny? A little bit, but not like that. And the Madal shit was played to me.
What was it?
Madal's. All the Madal jokes. Oh, McDonald's,
yeah. I guess they wanted to find a way to bring him back, but it's like...
It's his father-in-law. Like, you ain't got to find a way to bring him. Just put him in the film.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. Zamunda McDowell's. That was a bit much.
Yeah, like, it was stuff that was just a bit much. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, if you just go into it, just...
Yeah, just clear mind, man. Don't if you haven't seen it yet, don't watch the first one, then immediately watch the second one. Because I feel like that'll even taint you even more in the second film.
Yeah, but I think they tried too hard to make moments where in the first movie there just were moments. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to recreate magic, cool, but yeah. don't have a lot of people in here just saying shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just going.
You think the second one was too anchored in the first one, like you was saying, like trying to make too many callbacks, and that ultimately hurt the film.
Yeah, stuff like that can hurt the film because you're leaning too heavily on the first one
instead of
letting it just breathe and be the movie that it's gonna be, which is just okay in the first place. And then, you know, me and you talk about this all the time. I say movies with a lot of comedic, like a lot of comics in it, mm-hmm. aren't necessarily the best films. Right. And now we have another example of that: a movie that's just, it's on the surface, it's okay, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's not a good film.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's just a guilty pleasure. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Cool. It felt more like a family film, too.
Yeah, it kind of felt like one of those straight-to-DVD releases.
Oh, yeah. And the CGI here was horrible. Oh, my God.
That lion, like, you knew the lion was fake.
Oh, or the elephant was fake. Yeah. it was just so much, man. Then why? Now, you know I fuck with my mans, Ricky Rose, Rick Ross, William Roberts III, but fam, no. Fam, No. No. General Easy.
The worst African accent. And that shit was coming and going mid-sentence.
Honestly, Eddie's African accent wasn't good this film. Like, you can tell he was trying. Mm-hmm. In the first one, it just felt kind of... I mean, even though you know Eddie is acting, mm-hmm. it felt like you haven't tried this in a while.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's funny. Okay, give me just one of your highs of the movie.
Oh, Wesley Snipes. Like, Wesley Snipes is... Wesley Snipes clearly shows he's the star of the film. To me, that's me. That's but... funny. Because, I mean, you don't want anybody trying to outshine Eddie, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of people praise Arsenio Hall for his character, you know, Simi. But I think Wesley Snipes pretty much being the villain, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not mad at that. How you feel about Wesley Snipes, how I feel about Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan's one-liners in this movie, like he's the one person who constantly had me laughing in the movie. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan's so corny.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I enjoyed Tracy Morgan in this film.
I thought his character was so unnecessary. He was there to crack jokes. No other reason. Like,
yeah.
He had no purpose though.
I wouldn't disagree with you there. Mm-hmm. But
the reason I say that is because, like, okay, he already lacks a father figure, and then you're his uncle, and then you coming in goofy as shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do something else, bro. Like, but that's me being, I guess, you know, the amateur film critic that I am, because I'm like, okay, he doesn't have a father figure. Like, Akeem just comes into town, then, okay, whatever, right? Now you over here. Like, it's like, what substance do you provide for him besides jokes?
That was it. That was his purpose.
I guess.
And
I mean, to each his own.
Yeah, that was his purpose was to be the comedic relief, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I thought he did a good job with that. Especially his back and forths with Simi in the movie. And then they turned out to be best friends toward the end. I thought that was cool. Yeah. I enjoyed that aspect.
That's usually how it works. But yeah. What do you think about the love story between Lavelle and his groomer?
I picked it up from the very first time she braided his hair.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, or twisted whatever, locked it up. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. I knew there, like, I figured it out in the beginning. So it was like, now that I know what's about to happen, let me just see how it unfolds. So it was, yeah, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, oh, damn, this is great. Like, it was just like, all right.
Yeah.
But they needed to have some type of love story.
Because, I mean, Akeem's arc is pretty much set. Mm-hmm. Like, the only thing he has to do is just figure out, oh, I'm pretty much turning into my father. Let me figure out how to rule my country my way.
Yeah.
And not, you know, fall into, you know, patriarchy and, you know, the former ways of the monarch.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much he's leaving his country to his daughter by the end of the film. But everything he had to kind of figure out in the midst of all that to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I don't really like his interactions with his wife in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, but, like, first of all, they didn't say many words to each other until, like, maybe halfway through the film. That was weird to me.
Okay.
Shout out to the three daughters that were in the movie. They did a good job on their roles.
Mm-hmm.
Did you predict that the oldest daughter would become queen?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I get, you know, I don't know. I won't blame it on the sign of the times. I won't even go there. But I think it's just, you know, it's cool that we're following a royal bloodline. Like, yeah, you had a quote unquote bastard son, which they kept referring to him throughout the whole film. But yeah, that's your firstborn. But then again, you have someone that's been here, that's really done everything you asked of them,
mm-hmm.
and trained their entire life to be this. It's only right that you give that to them.
Right. Exactly.
No matter what happens, like, he came in town for, what, 3 days? Like, now you're ready to give your kingdom over to him.
After only searching for him for literally a day,
a couple hours. Like, come on, fam.
You found him in the middle. Oh, my God. That was crazy.
It's like, the film is so crazy. And then I think one thing that does, like, and then, you know, shout out to my mans, but I feel like his son could have been somebody else.
You think so?
Absolutely.
You think it would have made the role better?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you got two dark skin. You got an African and Leslie Jones that get together and make a light skinned kid. Okay.
Listen, I don't know how chromosomes work, but it's possible. I don't know, man.
It's trash.
Yeah.
But no, Leslie Jones was hilarious in here to me. I think she was funny as shit.
That's interesting. I didn't dislike Leslie Jones. I like Leslie Jones. She just loud. She's almost on par almost on par with Tiffany Haddish to me.
No, no, we ain't gonna do Leslie like that. Leslie actually is funny.
Okay. Okay. I mean,
and the way that you, I guess the way that you look at Tracy Morgan in this film, mm-hmm. like, Leslie was just being Leslie.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask of him.
True. True.
And that's the thing with a lot of these comedians, that's all you can ask of them because they don't act.
Now that's
like
facts.
Whenever you see Tracy Morgan on screen, facts. That nigga is Tracy Morgan. I don't care what he is, that is Tracy Morgan. Yeah. Whenever you see Leslie Jones on film, that is Leslie Jones. Whenever you see Lunell on screen, that's Lunell.
That's 100% Lunell.
So that's why I say you sacrifice giving these roles to these comedians, yeah. and they don't act like that. So mm-hmm. it's like,
yeah, what we doing?
What we doing, man? And then it's like that's his family. So it's like you can. That's why I was like, the film sacrificed so much. You could have had something else there. You could have, man.
They needed them names, though, to at least get people to watch. I think I read something like it broke a Coming to America 2 broke a streaming record or something for most streams in the weekend or something to that effect. I might be getting that wrong, but that's due to the star power, man.
How about to say?
No.
So, I don't know. Okay, yeah. I mean, because that's one thing about this film. It's so many cameos. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? And the thing is, the people that were the Africans, I felt like, why are they here? But they're real Africans. Like Michael Blassen. I was like, why is Michael Blassen in this film? But he's like,
at least he have to try to do an African. Yeah. At least he ain't try to have to try to do the accent.
Right, exactly. And then,
with him in the same scene with Rick Ross, it was like, yo. Like I can tell Rick Ross is trying to act. Like this shit is terrible. This shit was so bad.
I'm sorry.
It was so bad.
I'm sorry. Every time you try to say Rick Ross,
because I try to say it. Rick. I try to say it fast. I got a lisp. I don't know.
Okay.
Now Ralph is alive.
That but me.
Now Ralph is alive.
Okay.
Now I know when Ralph is not as energetic, all I got to do is just say Rick Ross. He's back. My man's is back.
Okay. I know that's not as funny to y'all, the listeners and viewers, but that is fucking hilarious to me when Johnny does that.
I don't know what it is.
But,
the Africans
in the film, I was like, why they here? That's fucked up, man. It's like,
Morgan Freeman. He didn't even try to do an African accent.
Well, I mean, this is the thing with a lot of monarchs and kings and queens and emperors and empresses and things like that. They do have entertainment come through. So that's why I kind of cringed at the Gladys Knight and the, you know, the Salt and Pepper and the Vogue stuff. But I have to think about it. They do be flying people out to entertain them. Now, maybe the song choices, we was like, eh? I was like, hold on, is this 93? Like, why we got in Vogue and Salt and Pepper out here, fam? Like I was like.
Man, okay, so that just made me think about when they had the live funeral for the kid. And my man just said, I am going to die now. I was like, fam.
I'm not gonna lie. That part kind of fucked me up because I'm not ready for James Earl Jones to die, fam. Like, I know he's not. Like, he's in his 90s.
He still looks great, by the way.
And the fact that they still get him to do movies, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I think he still does voiceovers for Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever they do, like, a Star Wars joint.
That's
like,
dope.
Maybe not live action, but because I looked up his filmography, but, mm-hmm. like, definitely, like, a
cartoon
or something like that. Yeah. Animated joint. Oh.
But when he said, I am going to die, and I leaned his head on the coffin stand, smiling. I was like, yo.
And he was smiling, but I was like, I wasn't ready. I was like, hey, fam, we're not doing this, fam.
Shit was crazy. So, that was funny.
So, like we're sitting there laughing, though. So, it's like, the movie has its moments.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just, I mean, unfortunately, it's just not the first one. And then I've heard they should have never named it Coming to America. They probably should have named it Zamunda or something like that.
Gotcha.
To take the luster of it off of there. Because, like, you've seen movie reboots and reshoots and stuff like that come about, and they'll put, like, a different name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you love Saw. Like, yeah. when they got to the 11th installment or whatever that shit is, it's Jigsaw.
Jigsaw,
right?
Yeah.
So stuff like that. Like, you gotta be creative with this, baby. And then you're talking about 33 years 33 later, you can never put two on it.
Nah.
Don't put two in it. Don't put two
They put two in the middle.
I know, but they should have never did that.
coming to Zamunda.
coming to Zamunda. That's pretty much what it was, because they were in America, what, 10 minutes the whole film?
Man.
To yeah. get him and then go, and they so went go back, back to and get him.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, now let me ask him. You this, because this is the biggest plot twist, obviously, if they're going to bring, you know, bring this movie back. Mm-hmm. The story about the conception. How do you feel about that? Like, you know, him and, like, Akeem and Leslie Jones' character hooking up.
How do I feel about it in the movie?
Yeah. Like, being a logical thing.
I mean, it would... Sammy was wild.
It makes sense, right?
So, yeah, like, I wasn't surprised, but I was like, damn, that's how it happened? But
I mean,
knowing how Sammy was, it was like, damn, okay, I can see it.
And that's when it would have had to happen, because mm-hmm. that was the only time Akeem was, like, really, you know, outside like right. that. Definitely the club scene, which is, you know, a big scene in the original movie. But them using that CGI to bring all that back, I was like, real.
That shit was too funny.
But I mean,
but technology is a motherfucker.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I'm not really tripping so much off of them infusing the 80s stuff with CGI. Mm-hmm. It was just like you said, the lion, the yeah. elephant, some of the shots of Zamunda. Like in the real movie, Zamunda damn it looked real.
Yeah.
This you can kind of tell. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, hey man, what the.
But see, I think back then they had to actually go on location and shoot some of that stuff. Maybe they were actually in Africa or in a country where it is that beautiful.
Well, you know what? And I wouldn't even say that, because sometimes, you know, budget don't allow for all that shit. Mm-hmm. It usually is like a miniature or something. You'd be surprised what they do with them camera tricks, like a miniature forest mm-hmm. and just fly over it. Like use a camera to fly over it.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
That's usually what they do. I'm not saying that's what happened in this film. I'm not, but to just prove there's another side to that, they probably did that too.
Yeah. I also want to say it's crazy that was actually Rick Ross's house.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Nope, that was nobody dope. Saw Superfly but me. So I've seen the inside of his house. I was just like, oh wow.
This is another movie shot in this house. Oh yeah.
Yeah, this ain't the first one. Like in the Superfly remake, right? It was you know, my boy Trevor Jackson with the perm. Okay, yeah. Whatever. He went against the it was like this makeshift BMF like mm-hmm. type of, and they was called Snow Patrol. And that was their headquarters. Like, and they had Snow Patrol every place. It was like all white. And then like the pool that you seen, like dude stand over Jermaine Fowler's character. He's like, yeah. Hey, welcome. It's a moon. That was the same pool. So I was like, oh, okay.
Damn. That's crazy. Damn, Rick Ross making money off his house. Just oh, yeah. sitting there.
Just sitting there.
That's
and,
dope.
And then I get a cameo or two?
Right. Even yeah.
He was in Superfly too.
Shit, I ain't mad at it. Shit, that's another check, another royalty check.
Jesus Christ.
So man. I ain't mad at it. That's what's up. Well,
General EZ.
Shout out to Coming to America 2. Shout out to Amazon Prime. Shout out to Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. Shout out to everybody involved.
Now, let me ask you this real quick before we kind of skate off or whatever. Tiana Taylor yep. has been confirmed to play Diane Warwick mm-hmm. in a biopic.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about that, since we were already talking about Coming to America and her role in that too?
Yeah, I mean, Tiana Taylor is a talented individual, and mm-hmm. I don't mean just music wise. She's a director, she's an actress. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good idea. I think it's a good look for her mm-hmm. for her to star in a biopic. I think it's dope. I mean, that's really all I got. I just think it's dope. I think it's dope.
Yeah. I just reserve. I mean, I have my reservations. Like, Tiana obviously looks like Diane Warwick. You've seen younger pictures.
Yeah, younger pictures, yeah.
I mean, Diane Warwick's one's like the first pop star. She's Whitney Houston's like godmother or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's like something crazy how they're connected, but still.
Yeah.
So, this is a story that needs to be told. And do I think Tiana's for it? Yeah. I just haven't seen anything of her acting wise that makes me say that she should be in a biopic. That's all.
Got you.
Because, you know, a biopic, you have to tap into who this person was. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the biopics of whoever, these people tapped into who these people were.
Yeah.
And if I just have to use the greatest examples, like Angela Bassett, Tina Turner, Jamie Foxx's Ray, Will Smith, even as Ali, you know, so it's like,
you think they should get?
I don't know. I just haven't seen, like, the thing with those actors and actresses we've worked, we were actually able to see their acting chops before they got those roles.
Got you.
Like with Tiana, what, she was in the Tyler Perry film, Byron. Like, honestly, I don't know what else she was in. And then in Coming to America, she pretty much was being Tiana Taylor.
Yeah, she didn't have many lines.
She didn't have many lines. Mm. Beautiful to look at, but the thing is, she looks like Diane Ward.
Yeah,
that's the thing she got going for.
Right.
And this is the thing. I'm not saying that Tiana can't do it. I ain't saying that she won't. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not on the fence of saying that this film will be terrible because of her.
Right.
I'm just saying that I haven't seen anything that makes me believe that this will. Oh damn, maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe I am.
It does sound like that.
Yeah. Well, shit.
Which again.
I haven't seen anything.
I understand it. I'm not mad at that.
But I know that she will. This is the thing with Tiana. I know she will take it seriously. I know she'll go to all the acting courses. Mm-hmm. And Diane Ward still out here kicking with her. So she'll.
Right.
She'll have the insight in it. So.
Right. So I feel like this is equivalent to not as well known actors getting roles in a, let's just say, an MCU film or whatever, and mm-hmm. then they come out and they just body it. I'm hoping this is what'll happen with this biopic. Because again, like you, I haven't seen Tiana in much either. Maybe she hasn't been in that much for me to have seen. So I don't know the true nature of her acting ability. I haven't seen much of it. So we'll see. Either way, I mean, if it's somewhere that I can stream it, I'll watch. But I'm not running a BET Plus because I don't have it. So
there's no BET Plus?
No, I just said
that. Oh,
no, I was just saying I don't know where it's gonna be.
Like, man, I hope they don't put this on BET.
It'll probably be on Netflix.
Well,
or shit.
Amazon, you know what? Maybe. I can't say that because New Edition was on BET and it was remarkable.
So yeah, there you go. BET. There you go.
Yeah. You brought a BET.
I was just saying it because I don't have BET Plus. I'm just saying, if they put it on something where I don't have the subscription, I'm not running to get the subscription to watch it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It has to be like a polarizing enough figure, in no disrespect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think this will be had on the list, man. You got anything else?
No.
Cool. So, YouTube, we'll see y'all next week. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. We'll see y'all next week. But now we're going to get into the OS song of the week. And, well, since today, the day of this recording is 314 day, I guess I'll throw some St. Louis shit on. Let's see what we got here. Let me throw on some Lunatics. This is the St. Lunatics. Let Me In Now.
Oh, baby girl, like a shake a lot more. Drop it like over here, baby girl. Let me in, baby girl, let it go. I love it when you make your knees touch your elbow. Boom, boom. Let me in, baby, let it go. That's how we gonna rock this shit, baby. Your knees touch your elbow. Boom, boom. My nigga, let me in, baby. Yo, Big Lee, she looking at you, baby. I love it when you make your knees touch your elbow. You gonna work that over there for us? Boom, boom. Let me in, baby. I can hit it, make you wanna leave with it, take it home and sleep with it, tell your friends that we did it in the back of the coupe, with your back on the sunroof hollering out, you be like, girl, he put in work, hit it all night, he rocked my world, came out that skirt, soon as I hit the door, we thurl, why you twerk, so much more with Chris, I hurled all on my shirt, we still kicked it, you ain't heard, that play a bad, St. Louis nigga to the end, with a 4-4 mag, into them chick niggas kick in, with a fire bag, the party just would not begin, till you shake that ass, now shake that ass. I'm like, whoa, hussy, that ass ain't playing. I'ma teach you to go, varsity, to pass it, ran, marry me, and divorce me, give me cash, advance, your best to deep throw me, just fast as you can. I'm like,
let me in now, girl, let it go. I love it when you make your knees touch your elbow.
Boom, boom.
Let me in now, let it go. I love it when you make your knees touch your elbow.
That was the St. Lunatics with Let Me In Now off of their album Free City. So shout out to St. Louis on 314 day. Let Ralph pull his up, see what he got. I was gonna play Tina Marie. Square Biz for my birthday, because that's just some shit I turned up to. But yeah,
I don't know. There's so many ways I wanted to go with this one today. Mm-hmm. Like, you got, you know, March 14th. You know, it's like Women's History Month, I believe.
Yep.
And then I can just, you know, I can pull one great March song out of my butt. My butt. I ain't want to say ass. I just want to say butt.
That's fine.
But I'm really trying to think here. I think I'm going to go here. Just so I can get it out the way now.
Let's do it.
I just want to turn it up for my pals. Like, you know, my man's birthday is tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
My friend Mark's birthday, LB, is today, actually.
Shout out to Mark.
So, you know, we got it going. Let's go and get future Mark.
Whatever that fucking man.
There's
something in the sky for. Spend a day to get my mind blown. Lift it up and go to Nassau. 200 miles on the dash. Got a roll a pound up a gas. Switching lanes in the Grand Rapids. We the one that kept it cool with all these niggas till these niggas start acting. Shoot a nigga like a film in a movie, nigga, gon' let him have it. We ballin' like the Marsh Madness. All these cops shootin' a nigga tragic. I'm the one that live in lavish. Like I'm playin' for the Mavericks. I done want it for the bitch that might have made me fuck her even though she average. Dirty money in the cup. 45 by my good. My young nigga in the cut. Take you out for some joints. It's countish money, no rush. I'm on the one way flushing. Loud pack smelling mustard. These fucking police can't touch me. These bogus police can't touch me. These fucking niggas can't touch me. Apply the pressure with the VVS. I drive the foreign like it was a ship. Drive the foreign like it was a ship. Lift it up and gone and offset. Fuck a cougar like she Holly Berry. Future hits is dirty, Sprite, legendary. There's something in the sky for. Spend a day to get my mind blown. Dress it up and go to Nassau. 200 miles on the dash. Got a roll a pound up a gas. Switch the lanes in the Grand Rapids.
That was King Tadavious, better known as Future, with March Madness. Dirty Soda in the Styrofoam.
Every time you say somebody's government, I don't know. It's just, I don't know why it's so funny to me. It's just hilarious. It's dope though, but it's just funny. It's funny as hell. Yeah, man. So another episode 99 in the books. Again, yep. We appreciate everybody for sticking rocking with us through this episode. Yep. Yep. Please share. Leave a comment on your favorite DSP.
Yep.
Rate us. Share us with your people.
Yep.
We for the, you know.
Oh, it's for the streets. Say it. We are for the streets.
Something about it just doesn't feel right.
I'm not talking about personal.
I know that, but still.
Podcast is for the streets.
Podcast is for the streets. It's for the culture. It's for everything. We for y'all, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's
for the people.
No, you look at Now my man's want to be on camera. We done now. Now my man's alive.
Tired of shit. Now I done woke up, man.
Now I swear to God, I know from now on I got to say Rick Ross. I know that. I'm going to start calling his ass Rosé. God damn it. That's fucking crazy. But anyway.
episode 99.
We appreciate y'all. And then we'll holler at y'all next week.
All right. Peace.
Peace.